and hope this doesn't step on any toes, but I think it's funny. I don't know if you've driven by in the evenings between 5 p.m. and midnight, but that beautiful, and just to note, the stained glass windows do not have a protective covering on them. That was old and yellowed and weathered, and so during the day, just spending time, it's gotten really warm in here from the sunshine coming through those windows. There will be protective covering put back on whenever the company comes back to do that, but it's a clear that it doesn't yellow because, you know, things have changed in 25 years, right? But anyway, in that back room, that stained glass window, there's a light in that back room, and it illuminates that at night. So if you were to drive by in the evening from 5 p.m. to midnight, it'll light up. It's really pretty. And I've noticed some people have been coming for things in the evening have pointed that out and said, oh, that really looks beautiful. But so I was asking, I said, well, how come they haven't been doing that? And so I got the scoop on that. And it's not a Kevin Kent story. It's the scoop is way back in the days of, I think, my older brothers, maybe John Poole and some others were involved. But I guess back in the day, not just women, but men wore hats to church. And it was appropriate. That's what people did. It was the fashion. And so I don't know, but somehow, one Sunday morning, some gentleman's hat got off of his head, apparently, and ended up being thrown up to that spotlight back there, and I guess it's staying there. This is a true story. I mean, the historians of this church have verified the story. So I guess that the hat stayed there. They probably knew. Everybody laughed. But I'm not sure who the pastor was at the time, but he drove by one evening, I guess, and saw some unordinary light coming from this area, and here that nice hat was on that light, and it caused a fire from the heat of that lamp. And so, from what I've been told, it was extinguished, it was put out, but the hats went away, I guess, and so did those boys sitting in the back maybe for a while, and we no longer had that spotlight on. So if you wear a hat here, it's okay. Just hang on to it, okay? Don't be flinging it in the back room. So, and it's interesting, again, when you do projects like this, I've found out lots of interesting things, and I've grown up here in the church, and certainly, and I said, well, that's just one shenanigan that I was not involved in with my twin brother, Ken. And so lots of history here in this church, and as I said during my time of prayer, just think about all the people in all the years, over 100 years of ministry that this place has been here, that people have come here for weddings, for funerals. Think of all the people that have been blessed, and I'm just real thankful for that. And as we were going through the season of Advent across the street at the Lighthouse, and we were preparing for the coming of Jesus, and we know that he's been born, and we believe that story to be true of Christmas. And we believe in our faith that he's going to come again, that he suffered and died. And today we'll come to remember that at the communion table. He suffered and he's died. And so we're preparing for that every day, being prepared and getting excited about that. I mean, we get excited about some serious things in our lives. And I just sometimes think that God's up there saying, if you could just give me a little more excitement, if you just give me a little bit more about going to church or being in my presence or doing my work, if you just get a little more excited about that. I mean, I don't know, but I sometimes feel that as the pastor, people just get a little more excited about these things as we're preparing. As we're preparing for things, we're getting excited for that to happen, and we're getting ready for it to happen. But now, you know, we're kind of preparing for Easter. We know what that means, that Jesus has died and he rose again and he's coming again, and we certainly believe that. And last Sunday, I share with you about traditions. As I shared at the Methodist Church for the Christmas Eve service about Christmas traditions could distract us from the true meaning of Christmas, the Christ child. But traditions in our schedules and our plans could distract us all year long from being in God's presence and doing what he's called us to do and receiving the blessings that he has in store for us. So we don't want to be distracted. And these things that get us excited, I shared with the children this morning, these things that get us excited, it's okay to be excited about those things. God wants us to be excited about what he has in store for us, I believe, as well. And so as we have embarked on this new year, and And again, I've already talked to people and prayed with some people. They're just saying, oh, I'm not around here. All right, I'll go where we'll start. Everybody sick in the family? Well, if that's the attitude that you have, I always used to say, you think this is going to be a horrible day, you think we're going to lose the game, well, then just go home and go back to bed, because we will. It's going to be a horrible day, and we're going to lose the game if you have that attitude, right? So if you believe it's going to be a bad year, unfortunately, probably will be. But see, I read the Bible here, and this God that I read of says he has good intended for us and has good in store for us. And so this morning, I want us to look at a familiar part of Scripture, a familiar story of Scripture, in Luke chapter 11 and verses 1 through 13. And back in the fall, before Advent, we were talking about kingdom work. And we shared these beginning verses here in chapter 11 about God's work being done through us right here on earth. So I'm going to begin this morning in chapter 11. And it says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. He said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. We've focused on that verse a few weeks back in October about your kingdom coming, right, here on earth. I mean, right now, we're in the kingdom, right? We're doing God's work right now. We believe that Jesus was born, he died, he rose again, he's going to come again. But what do we do now? I mean, when you pray, Father, hallowed be your name. I mean, Father, how great you are. How great is our Lord. I put you first. I exalt you. I lift you up. You know, and your kingdom come. And we believe that. But what do we do until then, right? Give us each day our daily bread. Do you pray that? I mean, you hopefully pray that God would take care of your needs, meet your needs, everyone be taken care of. I certainly pray that. But it says Jesus was praying in a certain place. I remember the days, not just in this church, but in all churches in the community. The church was open. You could walk in here anytime you wanted to. You just can't do that anymore. But I hope that if you wanted to come in here and pray like I do all the time, not just the pastor can do that. It says he went to a certain place. I keep talking to you about your mountainside, your certain place to go and get away from all the distractions and just pray. I mean, Jesus prayed, and we should too. Give us each day our daily bread. God will provide for us. That's what that means. God will provide for our needs. You pray now. Sometimes we're all consumed about certain things we're praying for, and we forget to ask God certain things. We say, oh, God, I need your help. I'm in a horrible position again. I need a job. And that's certainly a serious prayer concern. But God wants us to acknowledge how awesome he is and how great he is. And verse 4, I think we forget to do this. Do you pray this? Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So as we've begun a new year, and you've got your plan, you've got your schedule, you have all these things that you're hoping to accomplish and do. Last night, our Lighthouse Ministry team met at the house and had a nice time of fellowship, and we were planning out things, and noticed I used a pencil. I noticed most of them didn't use a pencil. They're using a pen. Some things might change, and then my eraser went bad. And then I'm just all messed up. But using a pencil and not a pen. No, yeah, we've got these things planned. When all these things we're already praying for, have you asked God to go forgive or ask him to forgive you? Is this a part of your plan for 2020? We'd ask God to forgive us and we ask him to help us when we're tempted. Because we will be tempted, right? Jesus was tempted. We will be tempted. So we ask God to forgive us. To help us to forgive others. And to help us not fall into sin. Then he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and he goes to him at midnight and says, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread because a friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have nothing set before him. And then it goes on. And then the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are with me in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. Verse 8, it says, I tell you, though he will not get up and give him the bread because he is his friend, yet because of the man's boldness, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. share this morning, because again, we're in a new day. Everybody's a new day, whether regardless of what year it is, it's a new day. And every day do we get up and acknowledge how awesome God is, and we certainly ask Him to meet our needs, and we ask Him for forgiveness. But are we willing to waver from our schedule? That's why I say use a pencil, not a pen. But what if someone needs your help? What if someone needs your help? I'll never forget. It was several years ago. It was Thanksgiving, and I was still doing youth here, and we were at home, and lots of people were there, and the police came to Mom and Dad's house and said, "Hey, there's this person down there on the steps. Said he needs to talk to the pastor." Well, at that point, I didn't really consider myself a pastor. I was, you know, working with youth and leading them and all that. Our pastor wasn't here or whatever. I mean, was going on at the time. But she says she needs a pastor. "You want to come? Will you come just go away?" That's what the police officer said. "No, I'll come figure it out. I prayed and I figured out. Of course, took that with me, of course. Took that with me. I said, "Go figure this out." So the police were like, "We'll just take her away. We'll just take her away." "No, don't do that. Don't do that. She's not doing anything. Is she breaking the stained glass windows?" "What's she doing?" I said, "Well, she's just sitting there." I never forget this. And so we're having our own family time, right? Everybody's there, having our own turkey. And I said, "Well, yeah, I'll go down there and see what's happening." And I'll never forget that the lady just needed some food. And I'll never forget she had a can opener. I'll never forget this story. She had a can opener. And the police were still saying, "Will you guys just go away? You know what I mean? I got this under control." But I really did. She said, "That's all I need. Just a couple of cans. Yeah, just a couple of cans of food." So I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, I cannot give you cans of food." And seriously, I said, "We give you some turkey. We'll give you a whole bunch." "No. No, I just need, this is what I do." "And all you're going to do?" I said, "Where are you going to go, man? What are you going to do? What are you going to do?" She said, "Well, I need a ride." So I think the police took her somewhere, maybe to the Clarksburg Mission. And yeah, at that point, I'll be honest, now you're really focused on youth, loving Jesus, and everything else, kind of in the church, always taken care of, honestly, by somebody else. And so I wasn't really sure what to do with the police. So we could take her up to come, we'll help her find a place and everything. But she just kept saying things. I'm not really good at anything. I never do cans of food. And she sat there and ate them, and she said, "I'll be on my way." And so I went home, and I went back down, and she was on her way. And so as I was reading this morning, man, no bother. People say this to me all the time. "Oh, Pastor, don't want to bother you. Not just prayer requests." It's really no bother to me. I mean, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And really, someone comes to you and says, "Hey, you pray with me." And says, "Well, I can't do it right now. How about for her?" Okay, well, I'll go to the Methodist church. Maybe they'll pray for me, right? Maybe someone else will pray for me. Don't bother me. Now, I'll just be honest with you. Sometimes, as the pastor, I just don't want to be bothered. I'll just be honest. It's just like you. You don't answer your door sometimes, too, right? That's why you got to ring the doorbell. You know who's there, and you can pretend to hide in your house, right? You can talk and say, "Hey, I'm at this grocery store." "No, you're not. I see you right there in the living room," right? "No, you're not. I see you sitting right there." Right? But yeah, sometimes you just don't want to be bothered. And it says here, he'll get up and give him as much as he needs. Think about that. So you're planning out what you're going to do, or you're maybe where you're going to go already. Hey, God might have a different plan. So just think about, are we asking God to forgive us each and every day? Are we asking Him to forgive us? Maybe there's some things lingering from last year we need to take care of before we can move forward. Sometimes that needs to happen. We've got to take care of things. Because we can't change anything, but maybe there are some things we need to do so we can move forward. And I'll always remember that story. And now in our time that we go to the Clarksburg Mission, I get real, real upset when I leave the Clarksburg Mission. Because everybody has to leave there, right? And they're hanging around the bridge. And they're like, where are they going? You know, where are they going? What are they going to do until it's time to eat again? So don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children are in bed. Can't get up and give you anything. Ooh, what if God had that attitude? So sorry, I can't answer. I can't help you today. I got a long list here, right? I'm working on, you know, I'm in a different state tonight. I'm answering prayers in Chicago tonight. so I'm not going to be able to help you. So don't bother me today, but I'll get back to you. What if God did that to us? Now, I'm not saying, now some people can, honestly, that's the truth, take advantage of us. We've got to be good stewards of our time, be good stewards of our money. But wow, think about that. So I say to you in verse 9, ask it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks the door will be opened. See, it says here, ask it will be given to you. See, God will help you, certainly. God will take care of your needs. But God will use you to help meet other needs, right? Do you understand that? It's not just the pastor doing that. It's all of us together, engaging in ministry together, as it says in your bulletin, that together we're doing God's work. And it doesn't just have to be the pastor feeding someone. It doesn't have just to be the pastor visiting with someone. It doesn't have to be the pastor praying with someone. It could be you doing that. And God, I believe that. I believe you ask, God will give it to you. But here's what you have to be careful. Maybe you're already disappointed this year. You're like, well, last year I kept praying, it never happened. Well, maybe that's not what God has in store for you. And your prayer should be, God, I want what you want. Is that what you want? What I want for you, and what I want for this church, and what I want for my family, is what God wants for them. This year, today, and every day. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open to you. It sure will. But God has a plan for you. It's all falls into His plan and purpose. And His will. It'll be done. So, if we're actually praying, God, I want what you want. This is what I want. You know the desires of my heart, God. You know what they are. But God, you know what's best for me. So I'm not going to be disappointed. My prayers aren't answered. You know, I said last week that prayer list was full, and you know, we lifted up all those concerns, and some are saying, well, I'm going to keep on praying. Well, we are. There might be some prayers you've been praying for 10 years. I remember Billy Wayne used to come here all the time, pray for 30 years. His dad would get saved. His dad finally got saved. That man prayed for 30 years, and his dad would be saved. He finally was saved, came and prayed in a concert, and was helping him with ministry until he died. Pray without ceasing. That's what God says. Keep praying. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, and he who knocks, the door will be open. So see, in our kingdom work here on earth, that God's using you every day as you're here, and on your journey that He's called you to here on this earth, maybe you might help people. Maybe you might help people find the door, right? Find the right door and find the right person, the only one that can help them. Maybe that's what God has in store for you. It says, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? Some of you are afraid of spiders, right? If you then, though you're evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So see in verse 13, and God says he'll take care of the birds, he'll take care of the animals, he'll take care of everybody. He'll take care of everything, and he'll take care of you, yes? So in this new year, this new day, maybe I challenge you this morning to do as Scripture tells us, that when we go to him in prayer, we acknowledge him as being God Almighty, right? He's the God and the only God, that God can meet our needs. And that he will, he does. And that God will forgive us. And then whatever you ask him, it says, he'll give it to you. See, all these things that you know and all these things that you believe, God wants us to tell the others about, right? Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Maybe we should ask God, oh God, forgive me for not answering the door. Forgive me, Lord, for not helping that person that really just needs someone to talk to. Forgive me, Lord, for not taking the time to stop and pray. So this morning, you know, as we come into this beautiful place that God's blessed us with, again, may it not be about the carpet. May it be about what this cup represents, what this bread represents. That God sent his son, his only one, that his body would be broken and his blood would be shed, that you'd understand, that you would believe and trust him, and you would ask him to help you, that you would trust in him each and every day. Man, I come into contact with people every day of all ages. They're looking in all the wrong places. They're opening all the wrong doors. they haven't knocked on the right one. And I believe God can use us to do that. Just invite someone to church. It doesn't even have to be this church. I pray every Sunday that people would be in church. I drive around the neighborhood and pray that all my neighbors be in church somewhere. I do that. I just want people to know Jesus. That's what gets me excited. So, as we talked about last week, this just takes some time just to remove all the distractions and to focus on that place, on that cross where his body was broken and his blood was shed. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. God, we thank you this morning for your presence in this place. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives through the Holy Spirit. God, I thank you for the Holy Spirit moving and working in this place since its inception, when this church began and they gathered and called themselves a church, even when they didn't have places to sit. God, we thank you for the great things that have been done in your name in this place. And God, I believe your word tells us that we can do great things in your name as well. And so God, as we gather in your house this morning to worship you and to give you all the glory and to praise you for the only one worthy of that, God, we're reminded of how much you love us. And I pray that everybody in this room knows that, no matter what we've been through or where we've been or what we've done, that you love us and you'll forgive us, that you want us to ask. God, we love you this morning. We know how much you love us. As we come to the table, help us to remove these distractions that are all around us. Even the distractions inside this room right now, that we focus on you. If you're calling us to make any kind of decision, leading us to do something right now, we would do it. God, we love you. We thank you. We surrender this time to you, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.